Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 33. Genesis chapter 33. You'll remember that in chapter 32, Jacob got a new name. The Lord told him, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and with men and have overcome." So now in chapter 33, this is the reading of God's word. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. He put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground seven times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children, and, "Who are these with you?" he asked. Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Then the maidservants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, "What do you mean by all these droves I met?" "To find favor in your eyes, my lord," he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," said Jacob. "If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need." And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. Then Esau said, "Let us be on our way. I'll accompany you." But Jacob said to him, "My Lord knows that the children are tender, and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young. If they are driven hard just one day, all the animals will die. So let my Lord go on ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of the droves before me and that of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir." Esau said, "Then let me leave some of my men with you." "But why do that?" Jacob asked. "Just let me find favor in the eyes of my Lord." So that day Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, went to Sukkah, where he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called Sukkah. After Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Elohe Israel, God, the God of Israel. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you were to look at these two guys, Jacob and Esau, is one of them a really good guy and the other one a really bad guy? No. I mean, Jacob was a deceitful swindler. Esau was an impulsive, foolish fellow who did not exercise self-control but just in the spur of the moment, satisfied his own appetites. Those are bad traits. You got this guy with these bad traits and this guy with these bad traits. The Bible tells us that while they were still in the womb, before either of them had done anything good or bad, God chose Jacob. Why would he do that? I really am not fond of either of these guys, Jacob and Esau. I mean, I would like to think that my friends in high school were better guys than these, right? I mean, I had some good friends in high school, guys with integrity, guys who had courage, guys who loved the Lord and stood for what was right. These fellas, I knew some people like this. But these were not the ones I would choose. And here's what's amazing. God chose one of them, Jacob, in order to be close with. I just don't get that. You see, as I say, if I were choosing my friends, I'd want to choose more carefully. But the difference between my friends and Jacob and Esau is no difference compared to the difference between my friends and me and God. See, my friends were better than a lot of other people. They were still sinners. Like I am. When I look at myself, I don't see a really wonderful fellow. I see a guy who continues to amaze himself with how obtuse he can be. How foolish. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why didn't I do this? I amaze myself at my own capacity for selfishness, for sloth, for pride. You'd think by now I would absolutely be rid of pride. Okay? I've had enough experience living with me to know that I should not be proud. Right? And yet, it still creeps back. So, when I read this, who had a right to be angry in this story? Esau did. And Jacob knew it. Because the birthright deal, well, that was unkind of Jacob, but it was a decision on the part of Esau. But the blessing, that was pure deceit. That was theft. That was inexcusable, absolutely horrible. And that was the basis on which Esau had wanted to kill Jacob. Now they're about to meet, and Jacob has been really frightened. So he sent all these flocks ahead of him as gifts. And it says he looked up and there was Esau. Now, I just have to comment as an aside on the writing style here. If you go back in the Jacob story to when he first gets married to the sister, okay? Back in chapter 29, verse 25, when morning came, there was Leah, okay? In other words, the way the story is told, it's a beautiful device in writing to basically tell the story and let you kind of experience what he experiences. In the morning, there's Leah, all right? And that just speaks volumes right there. The same thing is happening here. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau. There he was. It's like, I've dreaded this for years. I've been afraid of this. In the middle of the night, I've awakened in a sweat thinking that I was about to see my brother Esau. He's terrified that Esau is going to kill him. Esau is a hunter, okay? And Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. It's an army. And so what does he do? He again comes up with a strategy, divides the family. And remember previously he'd sent them on across the water in order to be on the other side. And he stays back, and that's where he has his wrestling match with God. But now when it's time to meet Esau, he divides up his family among the children, among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants, puts the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, Rachel and Joseph in the rear, and I was afraid he was going to go behind them. You know, because he sent all these animals ahead, and so it sounds like now he's about to send the, you know, the wives and children ahead too. But no, he gets out in front now. He's behind the animals, but he's out in front of the family. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So he gets out in front, and he goes to meet his brother. And as he approaches him, he walks a ways, and then he stops, and he bows down on the ground. And then he gets up, and he walks a little closer, and then he gets down, and he bows down on the ground. And he does this 7 times as he approaches. I mean, you talk about saying, "You're the one. I'm the servant. You're the master. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy." That's what he's doing. He's humbling himself in front of his brother. And as he does that, his brother just keeps advancing until they get close enough that Esau, verse 4, ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. Who do you like? Here's a guy who wanted to kill his brother at one time, and now he runs to embrace him. Oh, this is beautiful. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Gee, I never got the idea growing up that they even liked each other, you know? I mean, they were always kind of fighting over the toys, but it's all changed now. There's forgiveness, and that forgiveness changes everything. Can you tell Esau's not mad anymore? He runs to his brother, throws his arms around him, kisses him, and they just cry. I mean, Jacob's like, oh, because he's been terrified. He has been terrified that his brother is going to kill him and take his wife and kids captive, and who knows what will happen to them. And so he sent these gifts ahead, and then he's made this dramatic show of his submission to his brother, and his brother comes running, and you can kind of feel him tense up as his brother's getting close. What's he going to do? He's running toward me. Is he about to pull the dagger out and it's going to be over before it gets started? I mean, what's happening here? And instead, his brother embraces him. Wow. Someone who has a right to be angry and offended has laid it all down. And not because of all the flocks and herds and all that. He says, after he meets the family, he says, "And what's with all these animals?" Do you remember that the animals were sent in the care of shepherds who said to him one after another, "These are a gift for my Lord from your servant Jacob. He's coming." He'd already been told what they were, but he's saying, "Jacob, what's up with this?" And he says, "Well, that's for you, my brother." He says, "I don't need that, man." He says, "Oh, if you would just let me find favor in your eyes, just please accept the gift." And so his brother says, "Okay, I'll accept the gift. Let me take you to my house. I live in this place called Seir, and we're going to have a party when you get there. It's going to be a wonderful time." Jacob says, "Listen, you are so kind. I'm really looking forward to seeing your place. I'm sure it's cool. You of all people, I know, have a man cave, okay?" And we're on our way, but we have to move slowly because we've got all these, I've got my little children, my little son, it's just, please give us some time and we'll get there. Don't stay back with us. We're going to hold you up. It's going to be too slow. You just go on ahead and we'll come join you in Seir. And Esau says, okay, all right, fine. I'll go on ahead, but let me leave some of my men as protection for you guys. Jacob says, thank you so much. You know, I really, really appreciate it, but you don't need to do that. We're okay. You go ahead. Jacob never goes to Seir. Jacob never wanted to go to Seir. Jacob didn't really want to be real close with Esau. Jacob just didn't want to get killed. Esau has forgiven Jacob. Esau desires a relationship with Jacob. Jacob doesn't really want a relationship with Esau. He just wants to avoid being killed. If you could have your choice between spending forever in heaven and doing what God wants all the time, or spending forever in hell and being tormented forever, which would you choose? Heaven. Okay. But let me ask you a question. If you had a choice between not having to do either of those, being able to go somewhere else, not having to do what God wants all the time, being able to do what you want all the time, and not having to go to hell, you know, you don't have to be punished, but you don't have to spend forever just worshiping the Lord either. Would you choose that third option? Be careful how you answer. See, Jacob didn't want to be destroyed by the one whose forgiveness he needed. But he really didn't want to spend much time with him either. Now, Esau is not very godlike. But you and I have the capacity to be very Jacob-like. And that is, as long as God doesn't destroy me, I'm good. I don't really want to be with him. I don't really desire his presence. I don't really desire to do his will. I don't really look forward to forever doing whatever God says. I really would like the third way, and that is, I don't have to go to hell. God doesn't destroy me. But I don't have to go to heaven either. If that's what you want, I would suggest to you, you don't need to worry about going to heaven. But you do need to be concerned about going to hell. Because hell is going to be full of people who didn't want to go there. But they didn't want heaven either. Because they did not really want to be with God. They didn't really desire his presence. They didn't really desire his will. They just hoped to avoid hell. Jacob, on whom God had mercy, Jacob, whom God chose, is right back in his old ways here. After he's encountered the Lord, after he's been given a new name, he's telling his brother Esau, man, don't hold supper for us, but we're on our way. We're coming. We'll be there. You'll see us in a while. No, you don't need to leave any guys with us. It's okay. You go ahead and take them back with you. We'll be along. We just have to move at a slow pace. Liar. He goes somewhere else and builds a settlement. Succoth. Place of shelter. Well, what happened to going to Seir? Well, Esau, I don't want to impose. Esau said, well, I want you, I hugged you. I kissed you. I welcome you. I've forgiven you. Let me tell you, folks, God says to us at the cross, forgiveness is yours. The debt is paid. And we say, thank you. Really appreciate it. Now, if you'll just let me do my own thing, I'll be okay. This is a sad story. He moves on from Succoth to a pagan area. And for 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, a plot of ground right outside the city of Shechem in Canaan, camping within sight of the city. And there he set up an altar and called it El Elohai Israel, God, the God of Israel. I don't know why God chose this fellow. I don't know why God chose me. The only clue we're given in Scripture as to the basis on which God chooses people, the only clue I can find, is in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Take a look at it. It gives us some insight into those whom God chooses. And by the way, if you have problems with the fact that God chooses people, you got problems with a whole bunch of the Scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world in order to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world in order to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Why did God choose Jacob? Because he wanted to display his mercy and grace and glory. And when I look at this story and I see what he's like, I'm amazed. But then I pass a mirror and I'm amazed. Why in the world would God save me? I don't deserve it. But God has chosen the nobodies to shame those who think they're somebody. God has chosen from among the undeserving those who will display that it is entirely by grace that we are saved. Okay.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at wvr.org. That's wvr.org. Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit wvr.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit wvr.org today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. or contact us on the web at wvr.org.